This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What's up, Dolph fans, and welcome to the Fifth Quarter Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. The Miami Dolphins Podcast Network is all here. Seth Levitt, OJ McDuffie, DJ Preach from the Fish Tank are here with us. Yours truly, Travis Winkle from the Drive Time Podcast. And guys, another tight game, even competitive through about three quarters there, but it's a seventh straight loss. And Juice, right before you got here, Seth said something that I think is kind of a microcosm of this team this year. This team is just not good enough to make these kind of mistakes, to be this bad, he said. And I know there's one mistake that continues to pop up for you. This team shows week in and week out, 8 weeks into the season, that's really been eating at you, Juice.
Yes, as a professional football team, and let me tell you this, a team that spends hours and hours and hours per day in a facility getting ready for a game, the misalignments and guys being on the wrong side of the damn field, not knowing where they're supposed to be, causing penalties, causing fumbles, is inexcusable. I mean, I didn't want to come in here like I was a couple weeks ago, like irate, but, you know, when you're in a game, in a battle against the number one team in your division, you got opportunities to make plays, you cannot be, and excuse my French, stupid. Because that's what we were today.
Is that French?
Yeah, it's stupid. Okay. Stupid. And it's ridiculous for guys to not line up the correct way. You know, I was watching a little bit on TV, and they were saying, well, Gesicki had the motion penalty on the first one. That wasn't on Gesicki. That was on Waddle. Being on the wrong side, Gesicki tell him to get on the other side, and Waddle's still in motion when Gesicki has to go in motion. So we got two guys in motion. We had a first down play to Laird that would have worked out for us. And then we look at it again. Gesicki's telling Waddle again, you're on the wrong side. So Waddle's on the wrong side there again. Gesicki has to go in motion. Then we have the fumble. So misalignment, not knowing we're supposed to line up, that's the easiest thing. That's the first thing that's called. The first thing in the huddle that's called is the alignment, setup, where we at. All right? So it's eye right or lightning left or whatever it is. It's right away. Then the motion comes in. Then the play call comes in. So how the hell are we not able to do those simple things when it comes to calling a play?
That's what I want to know. Like, so who's that on, Juice? Yeah.
You tell me. Because honestly, I mean, you tell me. It's on the players when it comes to – when the play comes in, the first thing that comes in is how we're going to line up. Trips right. First thing they say.
And they're clearly working on it all year. I mean, every press conference that Coach Flores has, everyone's in 3 years, starts with alignment, assignment. It's the first word out of his mouth.
Correct.
So it's got to be stressed in practice.
And absolutely.
And in every meeting, I'm assuming.
But here's the thing I'm saying, though, too, though. You think about that. Now, and within practice, how many times are they redoing this? Mm-hmm. How many times are they saying, all right, you know, we call bingo with the high school team I work with, Archbishop McCarthy. We're on our way up. I had to get a little plug there. We're not St. Thomas or American Heritage, you know, or Cardinal Gibbons. But at the same time, though, the first thing you do before you run any play is trips right, trips left, ace right, ace left, you know, whatever it is. And then you mention your motion, Laser, Z-Laser, X-Laser, X-Lightning, whatever it is. And then you run, you put your play in for protection for your guys, and then you you call the play. 70s, protection. All right, now all go, X-Stop, whatever it is. So everything starts off with how are we going to line up first. And the fact that we can't even line up first on offense, that's ridiculous.
And this is not week one.
It's not even – but with OTAs, with preseason, with training camp, and 8 weeks into the season, we can't even freaking line up. That's amazing to me
that
we can't line up.
On that Gesicki play where he runs into the snap, and that's where the game basically turned for Miami. They have a chance to take, at minimum, a three-point lead into the halftime break, but wind up getting nothing out of it where, I mean, you had a chance to go to the end zone as well. So you could have really taken control of this game while getting the football back, and one of my personal keys of the game was win those middle 8 minutes, and they've never been in better position to win the middle 8 minutes this season than they were today, and they completely flubbed it every step of the way. So on that play, Juice, because you're telling us about how Waddle was misaligned than he was, and we see that so often where Gesicki, hey, get over here, you're over there, you know, just telling someone to go somewhere. But on that play, Waddle eventually gets set, so why does that come back to being his, like, on him when Gesicki runs into the snap? I'm looking for education
right.
from you.
Yeah, exactly right. That's a great point right there. Because at that point, now we're up against the play clock. So now that Waddle's on the wrong side, we still have motion guy, which is Gesicki. He has to go from right to left on the formation.
So he has to do that.
He has to. That's part of the play. So he has to get over there. So let's go back to the first one first, all right? The first one, I can give Gesicki a little heat on that one because he really, if he has to go in motion and there's time on the play clock, he needs to let Waddle get set first because he knows he cannot go in motion until Waddle is set. So Waddle being on the wrong side started off wrong. But once he gets to the right, correct side, now Gesicki has to sit there and watch Waddle get set before he goes into motion. And now we had the two guys going at the same time, and then we had that first down to Laird that was called back. On the second one, now you got Waddle on the wrong side, and Gesicki has to go, and it's against play clock. Now, between quarterback and center exchange, I don't know how that ball gets snapped before Gesicki gets to the side he needs to get to. So the ball snapped when Gesicki's still in motion. The offensive linemen don't know this, man. They don't care about what's going on behind them. All they know is the ball has to be snapped.
They got some big fellas in front of them.
They got
too,
other things they got to worry about.
Yeah, play clock on the wall.
All on the skill guys not getting set, not being on the right side, and the motion became a problem, you know, when we went out there with that.
So the flag comes out the minute those guys move at the same time, right? So that play's already killed because no matter what you gain, you've already committed a procedural penalty, and it goes back 5 yards. So I'm sure Mike is thinking about that in the back of his mind when he comes back out for that second play and thinks, I got to get over there, because I think the play clock was at like 2 or 3 seconds.
Correct.
When they had that ball snap. So he's probably thinking, you know, I got to get my butt over there, otherwise we're going to lose 5 yards here.
Well, you know what some guys could do, Travis, honestly, when that happens, forget the motion. When you see him already there and you got play clock situation, a lot of times timeouts call because you know we're going to be up against the clock and when we know we have motion. But Mike could actually go to where he's supposed to be, where he's going to end up before the snap and eliminate the motion completely. So if he sees that Waddle's on the wrong side and he goes and sets up, Mike, instead of doing his motion, just get over there now where I got to be because I know we're up against the clock. 3-4 seconds left on the play clock, and then run the play from there.
And I want to get into more of that because it's fascinating to me, and especially that, I mean, you're 8 weeks into your season, and that's happening, and that's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
But bigger picture, right, just to take a step back and look above at a high level, nobody in the universe, in the galaxy, expected the Dolphins to have a chance in this game. And yet, on that drive, they have an opportunity to go up 3, should have been up 6 or 10, right? You missed a 36-yarder earlier. You missed one there. You're playing against the class of your conference, not to mention, you know, the class of your division, certainly, of the conference, probably, and you've got them on their heels.
Yeah.
You're giving them all they could take and more in their house after getting embarrassed in your own house, 35-0. And I say this all the time, guys. You cannot miss out in scoring opportunities. You're just not good enough to.
Yep.
This team does not score enough points to just miss 36-yard field goals, to come away with nothing when you're on the 12-yard line going in. And they were in this game. They had control of this game, like you were saying, Travis. And yet they fall apart, and now it's 3-3 going into the half. And then what happens? Then Buffalo shows who they are.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's been consistent.
Not good enough to be this bad.
End of the half, beginning of the third quarter, it's been the worst. And we had the best situation we've had all year going to the end of the half with the football, with a chance to score points, should have been probably 7, no less than 3, and then getting the ball back after that, and we go 3 and out.
That's exactly what you
the
want.
Worst situation. You know, we took the best scenario and turned it into the worst possible outcome.
And that's just that really kind of is what we've been.
It's a microcosm of the season.
Yeah, all year long. And it's heartbreaking to me. Again, not that anybody drew it up and said, well, this is when we're going to get back on in the win column. This is the game, right? We're going to right the wrongs. But clearly, they came ready to play. Let me take a step back.
Defense.
In general, they came out and they kind of had that fire in their eyes. They did not want to be embarrassed again. This is what we thought we were going to see when they played the Bills the first time, because everybody had in mind the way that the season had ended previously. And, you know, 6 straight losses. So, all right, these guys are ready to play. But I don't understand how we're talking. We open up the fifth quarter postgame show talking about misalignment.
What's going on? In week eight of the season. And you said it breaks your heart just, you know, with the way they lose this game. But I think the reason it does is because that's the opposite of who this team was for 2 years under Brian Flores. They were the least penalized team, or one of the top couple of least penalized teams. And they were always aligned and had their assignment and were smart on special teams and just found ways to win those hidden margins. And now, you know, for the fourth time this season, really, because they lost their last 3 games in the last play of the game, for the fourth time, really, you feel like they lost in the small margins. And that's where it got away from them. Juice, to your point about coming on that position where you might call a timeout, I was thinking to myself, they probably didn't call a timeout because they just came off of a timeout. They did, but it wasn't Miami who called it. So they could have come to a timeout. But the bigger point to me there is that they were coming off a timeout and they still couldn't get lined up.
That is huge right there, you know, because, you know, but yeah, you're right. Buffalo gave us an opportunity to get the best situation. So even in that situation, we still come out of the break misaligned. You know, with a play, I don't even know. You know, it doesn't even matter what the play is. The fact that we can't even line up right, which is the most important thing. You know, first thing is, and I keep going back to this, first thing you do is alignment. Second thing you do is center quarterback exchange, you know, when it comes to a play. We can't line up right, so nothing else is going to work out in the long run, man. And it's a bonehead situation for a team. I don't care if you're a rookie or a 10-year guy in the league. You spend so much time doing these things that it doesn't matter. Those are the simple things. Those are the simple things when it comes to playing football. Now you got to worry about adjustments. You know, when the ball snapped, what are they doing defensively? Where's this guy going? Where's the coverage going? If we can't do the first thing, how the hell are we going to do the rest of it?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Exactly, and that's why you are in this position where you are, where you're towards the bottom of the league in most statistical categories offensively. So, and you know, just the last to put a pin in this here at the end of it, you know, one of the great quotes I've always gone back to is that I think it was Bruce Arians talks about how it really takes 8 weeks to get a system down, to get a scheme down, and like you said, Juice, we're 8 weeks into this thing, and it seems like kind of going in the wrong direction with regards to that. So, once again, the final score from the Ralph, are they still calling it that? 26-7, Buffalo wins. You're listening to the fifth quarter post-game show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Experts at Sylvester not only treat your cancer, we're making discoveries that push cancer science forward.
Because our researchers create new breakthroughs in our own labs, we can fast-track new therapies that have positive impact on patients here in South Florida and around the world.
Every day, we face cancer head-on, all in pursuit of your cure.
Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center. See a cancer expert today. Visit InPursuitOfYourCure.com.
AmeriSave's consistently low mortgage rates make dreams come true. Well, reasonable dreams. Like reshingling your roof. Not like your childhood dream of being a ninja. You'd need to train your whole life, break a lot of boards, come from a long line of ninjas. But you're from a family of massage therapists. So no, not going to be
unbeatable cleaning and mileage. It's a winning play. Chevron. Together ahead. And guys, we left off that last segment talking about alignment, which obviously, Juice, you can't get a successful play in if you can't get lined up right. But when the Dolphins did get lined up right, same story as the rest of the season, man. 7 straight losses, missing a 36-yard field goal. Dolphins are driving with a 3-0 lead in the first quarter. False start pushes them behind the chains. They move the chains. Another false start pushes them behind the chains. Take a sack after that. Then you miss a tackle in the third quarter on Josh Allen in the backfield with a chance to get a stop on third down. And then later that drive, defensive pass interference on Andrew Van Ginkle on third down, where he just flat out tackles the guy with the football in the air. So, Seth, you talked about there the mistakes we made in this game, man. Like, it's become who this team is at this point, I think, as where we talked about in the previous segment. For the last 2 years, that was how this team won close football games. Now you're seeing the other side of that coin.
Yeah, I mean, that is really it. I don't know the answer why, because you have some players. The thing that's really curious is guys who were not making those mistakes previously, right? I mean, there are some new players on this team, but there's guys that you counted on to make smart plays, to be disciplined, and that's just not what you're seeing. And it goes back, I remember Coach Flores said it a few weeks ago, and it really struck a nerve with you, Travis, is that, you know, people are taking turns making mistakes.
Yeah.
But eventually, it just becomes representative of your team.
Yep.
And look, I'm okay just in a vacuum if you said, look, this game's not going to go the way you think it is. This is going to be a 3-3 game at the half. You're going to say, well, damn, we're in this thing.
That, yeah.
You know, I could live with that. That's great. Give me a half of football at a tie game and in Buffalo. Wonderful. But it shouldn't have been that way.
Right.
You know, and then you would hope, despite the fact that you blow it on 3rd and 12 and you turn the ball over and you don't come away with points, come out of the half with guns blazing just the way you did at the beginning of the game. We talked about that in the lunch bunch. You know, don't get chin up. Don't start having your shoulders sag and start making mistakes. Things are going to not go your way all the time when you're playing a football team that's this good. But I don't know what happened in the third quarter. They didn't look like the same team.
Well, you know, it was crazy to me, and it's funny you say that. We've talked about this over and over and over again of how guys are go missing in certain situations. They start off in great situations, you know, find a way to get the ball to Waddle, find a way to get the ball to Gesicki. You know, Miles was working that first drive. I look back at that first drive. I'm like, okay, here we go. But sometimes – you know, we get caught up in trying to make everybody happy, I think. You know, to hell with making everybody happy, what you want to do is start finding the hot hands. In basketball, we've seen it a bunch of times where guys are, you know, might not be the scorer, but if you got a guy that's hot, you find a way to keep feeding him.
Right.
We lose our hot guys all the time. Devontae Parker was hot as hell at the beginning of the game. Then he kind of didn't hardly anything. Then they tried to find him again. Is that coverage? Did they change something? Or did it, you know, if they did change something, even the ball that he caught on the sideline was a tough ball in coverage, but it gave him an opportunity. The best teams don't give a damn what coverage you have on their best player. They're still going to try to find a way to get it to him. So why are we trying to be so cute and get all these other guys involved? The hell with getting guys involved. Get guys involved that are guys that are going to make plays, and that's what we tend to do. We tend to lose the guys that are big-time playmakers, and then we try to find them late in the game when it's pretty much the game's out of reach, and that bothers me more than anything.
And that's one of a myriad of offensive problems the Dolphins had today, and you mentioned this, Juice, that Waddle only caught 4 of his 12 targets today. If anything, this year he was a catch percentage king as far as catching, you know, 75, 80% of the balls thrown his way, but not today, so the Bills had a good plan for him. But just in general, like, I think this game was indicative of why the Dolphins in this current makeup right now are going to struggle against defenses that can do the things that Buffalo did. Because, you know, I saw a press conference earlier this week where Dean Pease, the DC of the Atlanta Falcons, talked about how, you know, that's one of the most innovative defensive coordinators really in the history of the game, right? Juice, like, he can dial that up and get exotic as anybody in the league. But he talked about how he's pulling it off because if you don't have the coverage to marry up with the pass rush, if you send extra guys, that means you have less guys to cover on the back end. So therefore, if you're not getting home with your rush, you can't do that. You have to go more vanilla and make it less confusing and just kind of pull back on things. But Buffalo can dial up different rushes. And so every time Tua got to the top of his drop today, he has to step up off that spot, right?
Yeah.
And half the time, the pocket on the inside is also collapsing. And then Tua misses a couple throws. I think some balls kind of floated on him today. There was a third down back shoulder throw to Miles Gaskin, but also running into loaded boxes. There was a third and short with 11 guys up in the box. I think you text me or Seth text me. What are we doing? Running that football right into the teeth right there. So I just think there's so many things that are causing this avalanche of lack of success on offense, and I can't really point to one thing.
Well, let me tell you this too, Travis. It's amazing to me too because you look at it. Beginning of the game, you know, we're dialing up some nice blitzes, getting there. Yeah, and they made an adjustment. They made an adjustment to all the blitz. And then we bring the blitz, we bring the heat, and there's zero, nobody gets home. So then you got all these one-on-ones on the outside. But when you got these one-on-ones, you also have guys that are, in my opinion, playing way too far off the guys. You know, if you got, especially in zero blitz, the touchdown to Diggs
on our
best guy, that should never happen.
I mean, he had 8, 9, 10-yard cushion.
You never happen.
Because you saw
that's way too easy.
He broke inside the minute the ball came out. He had no chance to get there.
He didn't run a route.
There was no chance to get there.
He didn't even run a route. You know what I mean? So I don't know what's being coached or what's being taught or what they're thinking. But right there, if I got a zero blitz coming, I'm Xavier Howard. I'm in his face. I don't care what he does. And I got him glued up. You know? If you give me a route that he didn't even run around. That was a semi-slant or whatever it was inside. That's not even a route. All he had to do was just start working his way inside.
He
the ball
found
was
the
on
open
him,
area, right?
And he went and scored on it.
Yeah.
It's like, so things like that are discouraging. When you bring some pressure like that, not get there, and then you got our team or our secondary guys playing off the ball like that.
So who's that on, though, Juice? Is that a player making a decision, or is that the defensive play call there?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because
what did it look
like? We weren't, for me, it looks like that's how they're taught to play the situation.
Right.
So let's get back to it then. Coaching then. All right, let's get back to what's really going on. So maybe the way we're drawing these things up on defense and offense is becoming an issue. Seriously, still on offense, still no shot. How many shots downfield we take today, Travis?
They had a successful one the first drive, and then we had the big pass to Mike, right. But that was a broken scramble play, so
right.
That's about it.
And I get it. Sometimes, you know, we don't have much time to get it done, but that sometimes we got to stop condensing that box and stop condensing that field like we've been doing and give these guys an opportunity. I hate to talk about it, man, because, you know, we get I'm going to be the one that takes a little heat. I listen to the pregame show. I listen to the show during the game, and everybody's talking about coaching. We don't ever get a chance to talk about it because we're not in the business of saying, you know, fire this guy. What is this guy doing as a coach or a coordinator or play call or defense call, whatever it is. But let's be real about it. It can't all be on players at this point, can it? It cannot be on players.
It looks like it's on
point.
Everybody.
It's on everybody collectively. So when you talked about it yourself, misalignment. Who's that on? How many meetings?
That's got to be on the players, right?
Well, it could be, but how? How many times are you not going over this over and over and over again?
I have
like
to
we
imagine
used to?
They are. And if Gesicki's jumping up and down, screaming his head off, that he knew the play,
right?
He knew the alignment. So the other guy didn't. Is that the coach?
It could be.
Different rooms, though. Tight end receivers room.
It definitely 1,000% could be, Seth. It 1,000% could be on coaching.
But that's alarming. If a guy's not being coached to line up properly.
Yeah.
We got bigger problems than we thought, right?
Yeah. So I have a hard time with that.
To the Xavier Howard play, you talk about, like, if you're in that position. I love talking to you about the stuff, Juice, because you can give us experience on it. If you're in that position where the call comes in, you're like – I don't want to do that. That's not going to help me succeed. What do you do as a player at that point?
Well, I mean, honestly, Xavier Howard's a guy that can do whatever he wants in that situation. If I got Stephon Diggs out there one-on-one, we got zero blitz coming. Me personally, if I'm X, I'm going up and press because I know the pressure's got to get there within 2 seconds.
And what are they going to do, bench him?
No, exactly right. Yeah.
And the end line's 10 yards away.
But the thing about it, too, though, is when Stephon Diggs made the move inside, he didn't even react to it like it was like pressing. You know, we know we got a blitz coming. That's got to be his only move. It's not going to be a double move. It's not going to be a sluggo, which is a slant and go. It's going to be that whatever he was running was all it's going to be. So jump it. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you might as well jump it. Otherwise, you catch him later and he's going to drag it into the end zone like it happened, man. So it's just a frustrating situation. There's blame to go around from players to coaching to everything. It's just a mess right now, bro.
Yeah.
And if we're going to do this show, post-game show, talking about the Dolphins in the last 7 weeks, really, you know what? I'll go the last 8 weeks. It's been a mess.
It's got to be some transparency there because it's just not good enough. And
you're not going out on a limb saying it's been a mess. We're 1-7.
Yeah, no, not at all. And
exactly.
On that play, what really gets me, Juice, is it's not like he's defending 70 yards of grass behind him. The end line
was
10 yards behind
him.
What are you trying to play deep for? It doesn't make any sense to me.
But they were all playing that way.
Yeah.
Across the board. Across the board.
Yeah.
And there was some plays offensively that I didn't understand either. A couple of third and short that we just run into a brick wall against loaded boxes.
I can't wait to talk about those.
There was a running play on the drive to end the first half where they got bailed out because they got a horse collar tackle to give them 15 yards. But why on earth are you running the football when you have 2 timeouts and 45 seconds left? That I don't understand that, but we're going to talk about that a lot more here. We'll have Coach Flores coming up as well here pretty shortly on the other side. Get your new Volkswagen with Gunther Plus at Gunther Volkswagen of Coconut Creek or online at GuntherVolkswagen.net. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Buffalo, 26-11. The Dolphins dropped their 7th straight. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Tomorrow afternoon, Hawk and Crowder are talking Dolphins. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Have an extra couple of minutes? Try Totino's pizza rolls in the air fryer for extra crispy deliciousness. Mmm, those crispy bite-sized poppable bursts of pizza. Totino's pizza rolls. It's Totino's, or game over. And Juice left off the last segment talking about third and short calls, which has been, to say the least, an issue for this football team this season so far. We saw it once again today, and I think we want to go more in on the idea of running into those boxes. And I wanted to ask you about this because we've seen this quarterback this season, as recently as maybe even last week, a couple weeks ago, check out of running calls and go to a little glance route to Jalen Waddle for a touchdown in the Jacksonville game. Does he have full autonomy at the line to change out of that running play? Because I saw a 3rd-and-2 run that ran right into an 11-man box and was ran to a brick wall there, Juice.
If he doesn't have the opportunity to check out of it, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
You know, because honestly, your job as a quarterback is to make sure we're in the best possible situation. And a lot of times I don't see that. So if you got a box that's clear, you know, that's clean, like, let me tell you, I go back to a story that we had against, you know, we're playing against New England. Keith Byers is playing for New England, and congratulations, Keith Byers just got inducted into the Ohio State or Ohio Hall of Fame. I gave him his props. They beat our team last night. And it wasn't fun, but hey, had to do what we had to do. But same situation, though, where we're sitting there and we're running slants, and we're about to run into a situation, a bad situation. We had the inability to change the play because Jimmy wouldn't let Danny late in his career, so we have to call timeout. So when you have a bad situation, a play where you've got like 8 or 9 guys in the box, you got 5 or 6 guys to block them, how the hell are we going to get 3rd-and-2? Unless we get absolutely completely missed tackles like we might do on our own ourselves, right? So we got to be able to check out of those situations. So if Tua is not allowed to check out of those situations and put us in a better play, that's a big problem.
Juice, it's just counting, right? Isn't it just counting?
It's easy. It's easy math.
I got 5 hats. They got 5 on that side.
And then you carry the one. You know what I mean? And then you carry the one. If you don't carry the one, then you're going to be, you know. So, you know, if you get in those situations, I'd rather us spread it out, or the guys that are out there, check to something quick, you know, and get out of that situation. There's no way in the world we're going to run with 7 guys on our line of scrimmage versus 9 guys on the line of scrimmage.
No chance.
So here's the question. Do you think that Tua's just missing that and not checking out, or do you think that because we've seen, as well as he's played in the last couple of weeks, there's also been some big mistakes in critical points of the game, and that there's a trust factor that is being lost?
Well, I mean, here's the thing about it, Seth, and these guys are blessed with the situation with the play clock and the headsets, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right? So what you can do, honestly, with 15 seconds left on the play clock, you can actually get in and change the play because the coach can tell you, oh, okay, they got 9 in the box, let's go to this play. It shuts off at 15 seconds left on the play clock.
Right.
Right? So who's letting it run down to that point where you see these guys? I see him in the box. Did you see him in the box? I saw him all in the box.
I mean, everybody
saw. So who's not seeing him in the box?
Right.
So if those two guys, the two professionals, the coach and the quarterback, don't see these guys in the box, well, then what's going on right here? You know what I mean? So is it on Tua? Possibly. Or is he not allowed to check out of it? Possibly. I've never seen this really on, and watching all the games, I've never really seen this change of play. I've heard some, you know, you're able to hear some stuff over the TV today, left and right, but I heard that from Buffalo more than anything. Buffalo changes plays, changes direction, changes protections. I don't hear that from us.
Well, we've seen some big plays earlier in the season. Travis, you pointed to it where, you know, Tua checked out of a play that was supposed to be a run and he throws a touchdown.
Yeah, that could be a check with me situation. There are some check with me's. You know, check with me, you get there, you got 2 plays. This happens, we're going to do this. If this happens, we're going to do that. But you go in there, it's called check with me in the huddle. But if you have a play called and you go out there, can you change the play without a check with me situation?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's a difference where you have a check with me, like, okay, this Mike linebacker is what we thought he'd be when we watched him on film. Okay, now we're going to run the other play. Now, instead, if we got a situation, we got to run the ISO with the running back from a pistol situation. Now, are we able to be like, well, our code word was green with Danny. Green Green 91, Green 91. Now we're going to quick throws.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Does he have that ability is a question. I don't know if he does or not.
Somebody needs to ask. Who's the next guy who's going to be in front of him, Travis? So let's see if the question gets asked here at the, in the press conference. But for me, I feel like the issues are a little bit deeper than those third and two calls that you guys are talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about it.
Well, I mean, those are just part of the problem, Seth. We're talking about all the problems,
yeah,
aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
We're not talking about the ones that we lost 26-11, but those third and twos are critical parts in the game, yeah, that didn't give us opportunities to continue drives, right?
So wouldn't it make sense then to kind of a fix for that or a Band-Aid for that is to get out of the huddle quicker and get to the line of scrimmage quicker so that Tua has more time to assess what he's looking at and get to different checks? And because, you know, one of the things that Sean McVay earned so much admiration for over the course of his career early on especially was that they would get Jared Goff to the line of scrimmage real quickly and then he would be able to communicate with him and say, hey, you got, you know, your safety dropping down, maybe a robber over here, and he would just communicate different things that he saw. So you have the, you know, the brilliant mind in the headset of your quarterback, but if Tua's getting to the line with 12, 15 seconds left, he loses that ability. So is that a fix to kind of maybe get some more clarity?
Yeah, his biggest problem is, guys, you can't even get to that situation to make those adjustments when we're not even lined up right first. That's the first thing you're worried about. Like, yo, right to left, and now you're all right, now we're set. Okay, now we see. Now I got – see, that's the thing. That's the quarterback's thing. What's amazing to me is that Mike Gesicki's the one that's telling Waddle to go over here. Mm-hmm. Usually it's the quarterback. Yeah. The quarterback is like, yo, you're on the wrong side. You're the one that's be over here. You should be over here, not your tight end, you know? And so it really starts right there. And then once you, like you talk about, when you get under the amount of time where you can't get the information from your coach, now we're in a bigger problem, you know, because now Tua has to make that call. And usually we've seen it over and over again. He just sticks with the call.
Stays with it. I mean, that's from the pro himself right there, gives you that take. And I'm going to go to you for this, Seth, because I think if I told Juice there was some bad luck, he might come over the table and tell me I'm out of line here. But you know how crazy is this? First of all, the last three games we've played, we've had these muff punts that have just gone against us in the craziest ways you can imagine. The first one against Jacksonville, his finger moved, man. Like, that finger moved.
That was a
muff, and we cover in the end zone, which would be a touchdown, right? Last week, the ball didn't hit the guy, but it was close, and so it just kind of gets into this group of plays here. But then today, I cannot fathom this rule. It's just a rule book thing, I guess, at this point. But you muff the ball at the 8-yard line. You muff the ball right there. It kicks into the end zone. If Miami recovers, it's a touchdown. Great, we'll take it.
Right.
But Buffalo recovers in the end zone. It's not a safety. It's a touchback. Yeah. So he gained 12 yards by muffing the punt.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't get it either.
So you take those into consideration. There was a play in the game that we talked about where Josh Allen's in the grasp and he tries to just throw it away and it falls harmlessly to the turf. Like, to me, you know, that's the kind of ball that gets picked off most of the time you throw it. In this case, it didn't. So, Seth, on top of poor execution, poor alignment, poor assignment, poor fundamentals, everything we talk about, also some bad luck for this team too.
Well, I think that all of those things you just mentioned lead to bad luck,
exactly.
Right? Teams that have quote-unquote good luck is because they do a lot of things really well. You got a lot of good players and you do a lot of things really well, you start to get the bounces. But if you can't line up, if you can't score when you have scoring opportunities, if you know, all of these other things that have been plaguing this team, then yeah, you might start to get some bad luck along the way.
And how much different is this game, do you think, if Sanders makes that 36-yard field goal to start things off? Because we talked about this late. The Dolphins were within a score late in the game there, and if you have those extra 3 points, and that's happened a couple of times now. The Jacksonville game, we missed one. I think there was last week we had a field goal blocked, right?
Yeah.
What the heck's going on with the kicking game?
That's a great question. And you know, going back to your question about how much different would the game be, you don't want to believe that a bunch of professionals, regardless of record, have a fragile psyche. But the reality is, when you are 1-6 in a game and you're playing against a team that hasn't just had your number, but really has dominated you for quite some time, you need some things to start going your way early.
Yeah.
I got to believe, right, Juice? You know, I do believe in momentum. I know there's some people who don't. But it would be nice, after getting shut out 35-0, to march down the field and get points on the board. And so you march down a field and you miss, you know, and you don't want to start having that here we go again. And certainly all is not lost at that point. But yeah, it's a 3-point game. We talked about it in that final, when Buffalo was driving down in the end there, and it's a 10-point game. I said, Travis, you know what would be nice? And, you know, he said, yeah, if Jason Sanders made that field goal. And you know, imagine if you had 10 points there at that point. You are playing the game a little bit differently. Buffalo was forced to play the game a little bit differently.
That's a great point that I want to hear from Juice on. So 12-play drive.
Yep.
Two third and long conversions, which for the defense, defensively speaking, those are backbreakers, right? Like, we got to go for another series here. But you get off the field on third down, you're happy. But not in this case. Two third and long conversions, 12-play drive, and then to get no points. If you're on the sideline as a receiver and you send your field goal kicker out there, okay, we had a good drive there. We kind of bogged down late, but we're going up 3-0 right here, and you miss the field goal. Does that kind of creep into your mind a little bit?
It does sometimes. But you know what, though, man? It's like, honestly, I always harp back to when I played. We never won a kicker on the field in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was all about us making a play on our own, you know. But when you have a chip shot and we have one of the best in the game, we do have a top five kicker in the game, you count on those points all the time. And you need every single one of those points when you're up there.
Absolutely.
You need every single one of those points, you know. So and then their guy comes back and hits a 57-yarder.
Yeah.
Right after that.
And look, he hits the 51-yarder later, but you can't miss.
You can't miss that one.
The layups.
Cannot miss the layups, man. The bunnies, you know. And so, you know, a lot of times you look at it, and players in general, you know, it's like cliche, you know, kickers and punters are not part of the team, but their job is to make things like that. And then you look at it, you look at the whole situation, you look at the snap, and I saw them chronicle the Ferguson brothers, which one of them, you know, we had one in the tank.
Absolutely.
You know, the hold's good.
Snap looked good for sure.
Was good, hold was good. I mean, bro, that's all you do. And we didn't even talk about this part, Travis.
The fact so that, much.
The fact that I've never played in Buffalo when it's 53 degrees, beautiful sunny day, perfect weather, dude. That's you couldn't ask for a better situation for anybody, not just the kicking situation, for the receivers. You can run all day in that. So to have that come up on a perfect surface, because it's artificial, and to miss that kick, ugly. It was ugly. That's big, because every single point, obviously, when we're playing against a team like that, hell, don't matter what the team we're playing against, every single point we can get is important for us, because we struggle to score. It's big, man. So, yeah, guys do look at kickers sideways sometimes, but they know that he's great. They do. We knew Pete was great. We knew Lindo was great. You know, so, you know, those guys get a haul. But some other guys, you know, you didn't trust them in certain situations. But Jason, he's having a tough year.
It wasn't like this was the only
special
kick that he missed.
Teams is having a tough year.
Yeah. Block kicks.
That was another sticking point a year ago, 2 years ago even. Four missed field goals now for Jason Sanders, 1 year after going 36 for 39. He's already surpassed his missed total this season halfway through it. And I want to talk about this on the other side, some successes hopefully, because I'm curious to get you guys' take if they were successful against Josh Allen, because he winds up with 249 passing yards, two touchdowns, a rating over 100, rushes for 55, and a score on the ground. Even though they had seven drives, only produced 3 points in this game. So it's kind of like that week two game all over again, where you had a good amount of success early, couldn't continue it there throughout the course of the game. We'll talk about that and plenty more here on the other side. Get your new Volkswagen with Gunther Plus at Gunther Volkswagen Delray Beach or online at GuntherVolkswagenDelray.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score, 26-11, Buffalo takes it. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Dolphins recap tomorrow morning with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Dolphins are back in action, and this season you can be back in the stands to experience it all live. Get verified tickets from Ticketmaster, the official marketplace of the NFL, and you won't miss a single epic moment. And rest assured, if your plans change, Ticketmaster has you covered, because selling your seats securely with Ticketmaster is as easy as a few taps. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. And guys, we left off the last segment talking about Josh Allen finishes 29 for 42. That's 69% completion, 249 yards, two touchdown passes, eight rushes for 55 yards. That's a 7-yard average for a touchdown as well, and a 34-yard run in there. And I talked about it. Seven drives, 3 points total on those seven drives. Buffalo was 1-for-7 on third down at one point. So this defense came to play, Juice. And what I saw, and I want to get your take here, what I saw was the pass rush finally married up with the coverage. We had good, successful blitz game. We had good four-man rush, and the coverage in the back end paired with that right up until about that pass to Stephon Diggs you mentioned there. So my question to you is that a good game from the Dolphins defense, or does it get all undone because we couldn't get a stop there late?
It's all undone. It doesn't matter. You know, we talk about, imagine you're trying to evaluate a quarterback who has a great first half and then a terrible second half. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good enough in the second half. So what do we do differently in the second half that we didn't do in the first half? We were getting there, pressures, guys were gluing guys on coverage, and that didn't happen in the second half. I'm looking at this, and you talk about Josh Allen's numbers, you know, 249 yards passing, 110 to Cole Beasley.
Yeah.
And most of that's in the second half.
That kind
of
pissed you off.
Yeah. Cole's 32 years old. You know what I mean? And I know you and my boy Sarney, you guys are big Needham fans, but Needham got beat up a little bit in the slot today with Cole Beasley, in my opinion.
Second half, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, when you're saying that, man, it's like you got to finish games. It's okay. It's great to start games well, but bottom line, this game, in any game that you play, is how do you finish?
Well, last week, right? That absolutely spoke to that. And so, you know, unfortunately, they kind of unraveled sooner this week.
Right. Well, I mean, my goodness, man. I mean, we were still in the game right here. Going into the fourth quarter, you know, we're down 10-3. But then we can't really do anything ourselves offensively.
Yeah.
And then we give up, of course, 16 points. And, you know, but here's the thing about it. Offensively, we didn't do ourselves any service. We didn't do anything going into the half, starting the half. I think the first three series, Travis, correct me if I'm wrong, we're three and out in the second half, right?
Yeah. I literally have my notes drive by drive, and I just wrote nothing. I had nothing to say.
You can't say, man. I started writing stuff, and I'm like, why am I writing it? It's like 1-2-3 punt, 1-2-3 punt, you know? And so that goes on the offense. But then on the defensive side, if the offense is struggling, I don't care, man. You can say whatever you want about any phase of the game. If one phase is struggling, it doesn't matter. Handle your phase. Whatever your phase is, get it done. And, you know, we hung in there, but at the end of the day, they made adjustments, little things. They didn't really try to go downfield on us. They didn't try to do anything. They dink and dunked us.
Yeah.
We're a dink and dunk team too, but we don't make it work as well as some of these other teams do. And then they hit Cole Beasley in the middle of the field, you know, in those situations. Cole Beasley had 10 catches for 110 yards. I would never expect Cole Beasley to ever have that in the rest of his – ever again in his career at this age. Never.
Think he's done.
No, I mean, in terms of – because you think about it, you got Diggs. You know, you're talking about you know, you're talking about Sanders. You're talking about other guys that would have those type of numbers, but Cole Beasley never.
Well, and it was on big downs too, right? Third and 13.
That's
where
a big
really,
point right there, yeah. Big Seth. We are the worst in third and long than I've ever seen, because those are the ones you really sit back and be able to catch everything in front and make a tackle. Third and long situations, we struggle more than any team defensively. Third and four or five, I think we're in good shape.
Yeah.
But when you get to third and 9-15, I'm expecting the other team to convert, because that's the way it's been.
That's actually a point I was going to go to next. I think the game began to really turn in the second half when Buffalo had a 3rd and 14, and it just, to me, goes right back, Juice, to the idea of playing not to lose opposed to playing to win. And that's right in that stretch where we had, you mentioned, three offensive series that went absolutely nowhere. So I can understand that you're concerned about your offense not being able to put anything together, but at the same time, like, then the defense needs to make a play, right? So you go 3rd and 14 after a whole game where you're pressuring Allen, you're sending these unique blitzes, Duke Riley's getting home, Sam McGuavin's coming in, Ogbaugh's swatting down passes, Christian Wilkins is getting back there, and then you go to a 3rd and 14 and you play your softest coverage of the game, and Josh Allen stands back there and has all day to survey, and it gives you an easy 13-yard in cut that they hit for a first down conversion. So I just wonder why this coaching staff seems to kind of get in their own way at sometimes, because it felt to me like they had the right juice cooking on defense, and then it just turned like that, Juice.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what. I mean, I just keep looking at numbers, man. When you look at numbers and you see that Nick Needham led us in tackles, Byron Jones was second in tackles. When you see numbers like that, you know you're having a problem, man. You really are. You know what I mean? And so it does. It changes like that, because good teams, good coaching staffs, they make adjustments. Okay, so what we're doing the first half, okay, that didn't, it wasn't working good for Buffalo. So they figure out a way, instead of working outside to Diggs and Sanders, what they're going to do is, okay, we'll find a way to get Beasley involved.
And one-on-one always, right? Because you're not going to double that guy with the other weapons they have.
And so, and we're not going to double Beasley.
Yeah. Well, when you talk about those adjustments, Drew,
we're not.
This Beasley thing's really pissing
Beasley.
Me off, for sure. But when we come out, the Dolphins come out of the second half and they have the ball, and it's their first three and out of the game, I believe, is what I heard them say on TV. Then you stop Buffalo and you get the ball back again, so you think the defense is going to continue to ball out, and you go three and out again, and at some point, Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills might walk down the field and score. And even that shouldn't be the end of the world. But if you can't ever get anything going. So I hear what you're saying, that if one side of the ball isn't getting it done, you still got to just worry about your job. But at the same time, man, when the defense comes out and is dealing a game like that for the first two quarters and then that first drive, you got to put some points up. You got to put some points up. And you had opportunities to, and you didn't. So I want to keep going back to that. Just they are just not good enough.
You know what? Big Seth is like, and Travis, he works with Jason Taylor.
Here we go.
He always like, you know, he's a defensive guy that loves defense.
Is
you
that
know
what it
I mean?
Is?
It's exactly what it is, you know. So anytime, you know, he doesn't want to put it on the defense. He never wants to.
I put it on a defense at the end of the Atlanta game.
Yeah, you did.
You need one stop.
At the end of it. But most of the time, you're always like, oh, offense. And then you might give Tua some love every once in a while. You know what I mean?
Well, they were giving up 32 points a game in their losing streak, for crying out loud. Am I supposed to run around? I
mean, they're giving up 30 a game now, like every game.
I was easy on the defense?
Well, you're just a defensive kind of guy. You know what I mean?
You mean to tell me Seth Tungavailevitt's not going on the offense? I mean,
hold on. Wait a second. Who am I celebrating here? The offense needs to score points. They absolutely need to score points. And they were in a position to. And you know what they did? They gave the ball back. They missed field goals. They did that. So when the defense is
Wait, whoa. Missed field goals, that's defense. That's what fantasy football says.
I don't want to hear about fantasy football because reality football is you're 1-7.
Well, Juice walked into the room and said, I hate football, guys, because his high school team lost, his college team lost, his NFL team lost. I'm inclined to agree with
him
right now.
Yeah.
So that's why he's talking about
I
fantasy.
Sense
that's
a trend.
That's his sanctuary at this point. I don't blame you on that,
Coming
Juice.
On me.
Kind of the same way. Hey, the Cougs won this weekend. Go Washington State.
Oh.
Get your new Mazda with Gunther Plus at Gunther Mazda or online at GuntherMazda.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Buffalo, 26-11. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is Miami Dolphins football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Tomorrow afternoon, Hawk and Crowder are talking Dolphins. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Suppresso in Council Oak, and much, much more only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. And Dolphins had one touchdown drive in this game, and so the Lexus drive of the game is brought to you by your South Florida Lexus dealers, who encourage you to experience amazing. It ended on a Tungavailoa one-yard rush, keeper actually, for a touchdown, but he got it going with a fourth down completion from Tua to Mike Gesicki.
10:30 left to play. Dolphins trail by two scores, two touchdowns. Back to throw, looking. Tua steps away from pressure, throws it deep downfield. And it's caught. Gesicki inside the five and out at the four-yard line. What a throw, huh?
Steps up in it. Looked like he might take off and run and just dropped it to Mike Gesicki going down there at an angle, almost scores on it. What a throw by Tua Tungavailoa.
On the run.
The Dolphins cap a 75-yard drive on 11 plays in just under 4 minutes there with the one-yard keeper from Tungavailoa. And just real quick, guys, before we get out of here, you know, someone put a question on Twitter earlier in the week, said, what's the best throw of Tua's career? This one might have been it, Juice. A little 4th-and-6 soft floater over the top of underneath coverage after getting away from pressure. Thought it was pretty impressive on that
play. Yeah, it was definitely a great throw. You know, and the accuracy, we already know about what Tua can do when he's throwing it. You know, and that's one of those passes where you need a little bit of touch. Sometimes we need a little more zip, which I don't know we can have, but that pass right there was beautiful. And, you know, I watched it on the TV copy of the whole thing, and I listened to both. I love listening to Jason and Joe and Jimmy. That's the best way to get all the details you want when you want to listen to our game. you know, when those guys are making the calls. But watching it on TV, you know, they try to say Mike might have had a little bit of push off, but that pass was perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect pass, perfect throw, you know what I mean? Nice little grab. And that's the thing about it. He wasn't wide open. You see where that ball was, right over the defender's head, giving him an opportunity. There need to be more throws like that because that's what this league is about, throwing it in tight windows. And that's what Tua did over and over and over again. I'm like, oh, my God, everything was in the tight window. Oh, my – I can't believe he got that in there. I can't believe he threw that. I can't – but he got it in there.
You hold your breath.
Those little short ones, the short ones he can put that zip on, that one right there was a perfect throw. And the distribution on that drive was unbelievable. Getting guys involved and, of course, getting in there and scoring. But on fourth down, to take a shot like that, it's, I mean, come on. We need to do that more often on second and third down.
But it seems like the only time they can get to that is when there's a broken play, right? Because it just seems like if you're going to try to hit it in rhythm on structure, that you're not going to have enough time in pass pro, whatever the case may be, you just can't quite get to it. So that was the one touchdown drive of the game. It is the drive of the game, the Lexus drive of the game, I should say here. 8 points out of that one, getting a two-point conversion out of it as well.
Well, so let's talk about the two-point conversion.
Let's come back on that. We got to get out.
Breaks are ruining everything, man. I'm trying to get into a rhythm here. Come on, Biff.
Trying to find a rhythm like the Dolphins offense and just coming up a little bit short. The Lexus Drive of the Game is brought to you by your South Florida Lexus dealers who encourage you to see, hear, feel, and experience amazing. We'll have Brian Flores and Tua Tagovailoa in the second hour, as well as an analytics debate that Seth cannot wait to get in on. Miami Dolphins fans, are you ready for game day? With Cheez-It, you can choose your perfect game day snack. Make it 100% real cheese for a deliciously cheesy snack experience. So stock up on all your favorite flavors, and we'll see you back here at your favorite game. Again, the final score from Buffalo, 26-11. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.